This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump reportedly pressured Comey. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. Wednesday, May 17, welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
News outlets say President Trump asked former FBI Director James Comey about letting go of the Mike Flynn investigation, and there's reportedly a memo about it.
The source of the classified information that Mr. Trump shared with Russian diplomats? Israel. But is there actually cause for concern?
Deadly tornadoes took lives in Wisconsin and Oklahoma, part of a storm system that spawned at least 20 twisters yesterday.
And Walmart is looking over its shoulder at a pair of European chains setting up shop in the U.S.
Basically, it's a combination of low prices on store brands, low prices on some branded products, and quality fresh food, and, you know, an environment that feels like a grocery store and less sort of like a, you know, you're walking into a hardcore discounter.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer on a German retailer called Lidl and another named Aldi. She's here in about 25 minutes. Multiple reports today say President Trump approached former FBI Director James Comey about the investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn shortly after Mr. Flynn had resigned. The New York Times was first to report the story. The Wall Street Journal spoke to two people who said they had seen a memo written by Mr. Comey that documented a meeting with the president during which Mr. Trump told the director, quote, "I hope you can let this go." Meanwhile, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says he's invited Mr. Comey to testify publicly at a Senate hearing to give his version.
If Mr. Comey is alleging the president did something inappropriate, it's open invitation to come to the Judiciary Committee and tell us about it.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The country is being tested in unprecedented ways.
In a statement last evening, the White House denied the account as described by those close to Mr. Comey. The FBI is reportedly investigating Mr. Flynn for the conversations he had with the Russian diplomat and his financial dealings with Russia and Turkey. The classified information that President Trump shared last week with Russian diplomats had been gathered by Israeli intelligence. The Wall Street Journal says the intel concerning terrorist threats against airliners was meant for U.S. eyes only and is predicated on mutual assurances of secrecy. Mr. Trump tweeted yesterday that he, quote, had the absolute right to discuss threats with visiting dignitaries. Virginia Senator Mark Warner is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Trying to go the extra mile, we owe the White House a chance to present us with the information, present us with the truth. We want to know from people in the room.
H.R. McMaster, the president's national security advisor, described the president's disclosures as wholly appropriate, and he was in the room.
I wanted to make clear to everybody that the president in no way compromised any sources or methods in the course of this conversation.
The Israeli source was considered so sensitive that the U.S. hadn't shared it with its closest allies, including the U.K. and Canada. Question the Wall Street Journal raises, why are such subjects sensitive enough to require anonymity, but not sensitive enough to discuss with a reporter? It was the Washington Post that first reported that story. Well, as the White House tries to extinguish daily public relations fires, it seems the work that needs to be done by Congress is falling further behind. Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz yesterday told NBC News that the House still has to pass meaningful legislation and get it to the president's desk. Must-do legislation on the military, children's health, and a full slate of spending bills are all slipping behind schedule. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I think it would be helpful to have less drama emanating from the White House.
The Senate has no legislation on its agenda this week. The House, just back from an 11-day recess, is working on feel-good legislation. Another 11-day recess is just around the corner. The schedule looks further compressed now that a spokeswoman for House Speaker Paul Ryan said it's appropriate for the House Oversight Committee to request the memo that was reportedly written by fired FBI Director James Comey about the president approaching him about the probe into Michael Flynn. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Trump is finalizing preparations for a trip that could become a resounding triumph or go horribly awry with just one mistake. In the days leading up to Mr. Trump's high-risk debut on the world stage, a nine-day tour, the Oval Office has had a rotating roster of policy experts briefing the president. It's a story from Philip Rucker, White House bureau chief at The Washington Post. Philip, what are you hearing?
It's a major trip for President Trump. He's going to be overseas for 9 days, making five stops in four different countries. You know, it's a really high-stakes journey for him. He's going to be under a microscope the whole time and obviously dealing with a lot of complicated issues. He's going to be starting off in Saudi Arabia, then going to Israel, trying to negotiate Middle East peace, and then he meets with the Pope, Pope Francis in Rome, and then a NATO summit in Brussels, and concluding with the summit of the G7 leaders. Those are our seven biggest economic and security allies in Italy. So a lot on this table, a lot at stake, and he's getting ready.
Boy, you mentioned Henry Kissinger was even in for a little chat and maybe some guidance.
That's right. We wrote in our story that the Oval Office at times seems to have morphed into a graduate seminar room. They've got a rotating the roster of experts coming through to brief the president and help him think about foreign affairs, including Henry Kissinger, who's considered the top elder statesman of the Republican Party. Of course, President Nixon, Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. And Kissinger spent some time with President Trump last week in the Oval Office.
Any idea what he offered?
Well, he offered wisdom and advice on a whole range of foreign policy matters. But one thing to keep in mind is during this whole time that Trump's been trying to prepare for this trip, he's been very distracted by the scandals engulfing his administration. Last week, it was the firing of the FBI director, this issue of the president revealing highly classified intelligence to the Russian foreign minister in a private meeting in the Oval Office. So a lot is distracting him, taking his mind away from the foreign trip. And it was actually his meeting with Kissinger where they brought in the press pool for a little photo op where Trump made his first public comments about the Comey firing.
We're speaking with Philip Rucker, White House bureau chief at The Washington Post. He's written a piece entitled "Trump Will Have to Navigate Diplomatic Landmines Abroad. Here's how he's preparing." So one of the things you mentioned that Mr. Trump will need to get right will be body language. I presume everybody's going to be watching that as he visits these different countries. Any idea what he's been coached on with regards to that, with especially meeting different types of people?
That's right. These trips on foreign soil can be treacherous, and it's not just what comes out of the president's mouth in terms of what he says, but it's also how he acts. It's protocol. It's body language. Does he look bored? Does he roll his eyes when another leader is speaking? Or does he stay composed and serious and presidential, for lack of a better word? And so I think his advisors are trying to walk him through all of this, and it's a challenge for him because, you know, Trump is obviously has traveled the world a lot. He has a lot of properties and real estate investments around the world. Mm-hmm. But he's always been comfortable in his own environs, at his own properties, when he's the one cutting the ribbon and speaking at the microphone. And these foreign summits are very different environments where he's basically on equal footing, on an equal stage with all of these other world leaders, and they all have egos, and they all have to talk, and we'll see how he acts, you know, as an equal partner there.
What's the best case scenario for Mr. Trump and the Trump administration during and perhaps after this overseas trip?
You know, it's easy to see actually how this trip could be very successful for him, even a triumphant moment for his presidency. He's going to Saudi Arabia, and they're expected to ink a deal that could bring a lot of economic development to the United States. I think the Arab world in particular, the Gulf states, are very eager to have a prosperous partnership with the United States under President Trump. And so he just has to kind of survive there. I think Israel, you know, he's very close to the Netanyahu government. Trump is seen as a friend of Israel, and he needs to just execute there.
Philip Rucker, White House bureau chief at The Washington Post. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the decision to fire FBI Director James Comey may be coming back to haunt President Trump. In dismissing Comey last week, Trump created the very real possibility that a law enforcement official known for an outspoken nature and willingness to buck political convention could resurface in public. And yesterday, an associate revealed that Comey had written a memo in which he described Trump asking him to shut down an FBI investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff says lawmakers want to hear directly now from Comey.
We know enough now. There's been enough alleged publicly to want to bring the director back to testify, ideally in open session, either before our committee or the Judiciary Committee, but he should come back to the Congress.
The conversation occurred weeks after the FBI interviewed Flynn regarding his contacts with the Russian ambassador. Israel says ties with the U.S. have not been damaged by claims President Trump gave Russia sensitive information provided by Israeli intelligence. Israeli Ambassador Ron Dermer says Israel has full confidence in its intelligence-sharing relationship with the U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says Trump did nothing wrong.
I wanted to make clear to everybody that the president in no way compromised any sources or methods in the course of this conversation.
The White House refused to comment on reports that Israel was the source of the intelligence. The UN Security Council held an emergency meeting on North Korea yesterday as members consider new sanctions in response to the country's latest ballistic missile test. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley.
This has become more than just a problem. This is a true threat to every country in the world.
The U.S. and China are negotiating a plan for new sanctions and the tightening of existing penalties on Pyongyang. Well, if you like just the marshmallows in the Lucky Charms, good news. General Mills is giving you a chance to win one of 10,000 boxes of marshmallow-only Lucky Charms. Specially marked rainbow boxes will be on store shelves soon. Inside some of them will be a special code to enter on a website to receive a box.
Just can you clarify, Jennifer, what part of the nutrition awareness program is this?
Pure sugar.
My goodness.
The awareness of pure sugar.
Marshmallow only cereal. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. 23 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. When it's time for new tech, go to Staples. Purchase a new PC or printer at Staples and receive 30 days of tech support free. Exclusions apply. See store or staples.com for details. Staples, it's pro time. The new place to be if you're looking for a job, LinkedIn. Stephen Petro, digital ethics columnist at USA Today, says three new features make professional networking an ever-important tool on LinkedIn if you're in the hunt for work or recruiting staffers. Stephen, what do we have?
The first one is called Open Candidates. And what that is about is, let's say you're in a job and you want to start looking for something on the sly privately. You don't want anyone at your company to know. You don't want recruiters that are affiliated with your company to know. You can switch on a toggle on the Open Candidates page, and that will send out what LinkedIn calls a secret signal to those who are looking for candidates. As an idea, I think it's fantastic. When I did some interviewing of HR professionals and those who kind of monitor LinkedIn, they were not so sold on the security feature that you might not say you're looking for a new job and perhaps your current employer may find out, and that could pose problems for you if it seemed like you're trying to bail out.
Yeah.
If you get caught in that situation, the best advice is to say, hey, I love my job, but I'm always looking for a new opportunity.
Okay.
So, that's kind of a workaround.
It's still dicey, though, right? I mean, because people can talk, you know, if they see something online like that.
People can talk, and even the terms of service on LinkedIn say it's not secure.
Okay.
And I always encourage people, as boring as they are, please read those terms of service. There's so much important information in them. I know, really. So, number two, Salary Finder. Who doesn't want to get the most amount of money for their job? I do. I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great new way to do that. And there are a couple of million people who have signed up already. And so on the jobs that are really the most prevalent, that that people search on the most, it's really very useful because people are encouraged to give their job title and their salaries. In return, they get to use the service for free.
Okay.
So, that's a real benefit. They're building people that way. For more esoteric jobs or for jobs, I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You know, there might not be as many in the smaller places at this time. So, you'll still want to rely on some of the tried and true sources for salary information, which are professional associations, alumni associations, and word of mouth. You know, ask recruiters, ask colleagues, that sort of thing. But that's a really good one, Salary Finder.
Good, but that does not come for free. You got to share some of your information, is that what you're saying?
Either you got to share some of your information or you got to pay, I think it's about $29 a month.
Okay.
So, yeah,
okay.
There's a quid pro quo there.
Is that a good feature for, say, new college grads who are about to enter the workforce?
You know, I would say for yes, because those folks probably know the least about what jobs pay. I have a niece who's about to go out into the workforce, and I think that applies to her.
Yeah.
So yes, it would be a really good tool to do that. And you can put in the current last job you had, and you'll probably get it for free. So it's even a good deal for that.
Thanks, Steve. Stephen Petro, digital ethics columnist at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities. Which makes Michigan more than business-friendly, it makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big, even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, May 17. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump reportedly approached Comey about letting go of the Flynn investigation. Classified document leaker Chelsea Manning gets out of prison today. Deadly tornadoes in Wisconsin and Oklahoma. Fresh record for the NASDAQ, which is up 15% so far this year. Merrick Garland and Senator Cornyn not interested in the FBI job. How about this? 3 minutes. 3 minutes of a pornographic video somehow played on a public display screen at Union Station in D.C. Facebook under fire in Thailand for showing a video of the king wearing a crop top. And the dad leading the way to erasing school lunch debt and the shaming that goes with it. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for Business Update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Keep your eyes and ears out for a German discount chain called Lidl, spelled L-I-D-L. The company plans to go head-to-head with the likes of Walmart and other grocery stores, first on the East Coast. Some of those stores are due to open in the coming weeks. Walmart is keeping a close eye out. Not only Lidl, but another German discounter named Aldi is threatening the discount chain landscape in America. Details from Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer. Sarah, where will we see Lidl?
First, it will probably be East Coast, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. But according to real estate analysts and trackers, they probably have plans for about 200 stores, you know, some even in Texas and Ohio, but first sort of mid-Atlantic East Coast, which is where Walmart has a lot of its stores as well.
So is Lidl thinking they're different because their quality is better and their prices are competitive? Or what's their approach here? Why do they think they can succeed?
I think that, you know, we haven't seen their stores in the U.S., but analysts sort of observing and trying to guess at what they're going to do say that basically, it's a combination of low prices on store brands, low prices on some branded products, and quality fresh food, and, you know, an environment that feels like a grocery store and less sort of like a, you know, you're walking into a hardcore discounter. And they think that they're going to try to attract more sort of, you know, really broad swath of the population, not just people that are really price sensitive and going and shop that way, but people that are price sensitive, people that like to get a deal, they're going to sell wine, you know, people that want to just buy a pretty broad basket of goods, at a grocery store-like place. Hmm. And I think that's the part that makes other grocers, you know, watch them carefully.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer about her piece entitled Why Walmart is Worried About a Discount German Grocer. So how might the likes of Walmart and Kroger adjust here if they do?
Well, Walmart has been, over the last 2 years, really focused on improving stores for a variety of reasons. And that seems to be paying off. Their sales in existing stores are rising at a time when the retail industry is struggling overall pretty extremely. And so when I talk to them, they say that they're in a good position, that they've gotten some things right in stores that they think will help them to compete. But specifically for the discounters like Aldi and Lidl, they're really focused on their store brand, you know, so that their store brand can compete. They're experimenting with some price decreases already, so that their pricing is already very competitive. So they're already preemptively preparing for the growth of these brands.
Mm. All right. So what about the, say, store experience itself? Because as you point out, Walmart's done some stuff on the tech side, right? You can scan stuff with your smartphone. You don't have to go to the register sometimes. You got these express lines.
At Walmart, they raised wages for their store employees. They've really been focused on lowering their inventory, which is a sort of wonky behind-the-scenes thing, but it really impacts how easy it is to keep a store's shelves stocked consistently, right? Some basic things that you expect when you're walking into a store. And they also say they're focused on specifically speeding up registers, and I think that's a consistent complaint from shoppers at Walmart is that they're big, so they inherently take a lot of time to shop. And so Walmart wants to do things to, you know, mitigate that as much as is possible in a super center format.
Thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, love him or hate him, Gordon, you've got to admit one thing. Tim Tebow is good box office. According to Baseball America, the Tebow effect on attendance in the low Class A South Atlantic League this season has been profound, accounting for an average of more than 2,000 extra fans per night when his team, the Columbia Fireflies, plays on the road in stadiums that typically average only around 2,000 a night during a non-Tebow game. Minor league teams estimate that the average fan will spend $20 per person if they come to the ballpark. That counts ticket sales, concessions, and souvenirs. So if Tebow is worth roughly an additional $44,000 per night. And if Tebow remains in the SAL all season, that would mean an additional $3.1 million in revenue over the course of 70 Columbia road games. And that doesn't even count the revenue he generates for Columbia when the team is at home. Unfortunately for Tebow, his hitting stats haven't matched his box office numbers, as he's currently hitting just .227 with two homers in 31 games.
Okay, well, don't poo-poo those numbers so quickly, Mike Gavin, Mets fan, because that .227 is better than Lucas Duda, Juan Lagares, Travis d'Arnaud, Jose Reyes, and Curtis Granderson.
That is true.
And he's hit more home runs than any Mets pitcher.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he probably could start in center field for the Mets at this point. Yeah, so you're right. I should give it a little more time.
I told you, I'm a Tebow fan, so it's a little positive spin for you right
well,
there.
Well, I tell you, he was in Lakewood here in New Jersey this past weekend. And, you know, talk about an extra fans. I mean, that's a ballpark that holds about, I think has about like 6,000 or 7,000 seats.
Yeah.
And they had, I think for a couple of those games, 13,000 people in the ballpark.
Really?
Including some people I know on Facebook, former coworker of ours came up from D.C. just to see him in New Jersey.
Very
so
cool.
So yeah, that, I mean, you know, wherever he goes, the people are coming.
Nice.
And
right.
And again, we've talked about this before. As long as he's hitting, as long as he's staying above 200, as long as he's not really taking the job of somebody who deserves it more, as long as he's holding his own, which he seems to be doing, not great stats, but holding his own. You know, I'm cool with it. Let's keep it going.
.227 gets you another year in the minor leagues too.
it
might get an extra $5 a game.
It might. They were talking a promotion a couple weeks ago. And with temperatures heating up for the summer, the makers of what's being billed as the first ever romper for men say it, quote, may just be the start of a fashion revolution. Thanks to a successful Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign, what's being called the Romp Him officially went into production this week. The Romp Him is a one-piece garment, which is similar to those already in style for women. The company says it's meant for anyone who wants to make a statement and guarantees that it'll look good on you. For the initial launch, the company is offering four colors: red chambray, blue chambray, splatter print cotton, and
you know
red, white,
just,
and blue 4th of July special edition.
Just stop.
The
romper for men, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like...
Okay, listen, I looked it up on the website.
Yeah.
Before I'm going to announce that it's fake news, it does have a Kickstarter website.
Yeah.
It talks about this being your favorite summer outfit.
Yes.
For things like concerts, beach days, rooftops, pool parties, leisurely strolls, and bar patios. Okay, mm-hmm. What it does not say that it would be good for would be working in the yard.
Right.
Playing with the kids.
Right.
Hitting golf balls at the range.
Soccer on the weekend.
Fishing. Right. Going to work. I mean, this is just the silliest thing ever. Can we please... Oh, look, we're out of time, Mike. We can't discuss the romper for men anymore. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump personally appealed to FBI Director James Comey to abandon the Bureau's investigation into National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, according to notes Comey wrote after the meeting. According to the memo, Trump told Comey, "I hope you can let this go." The White House issued a denial after the notes were disclosed late yesterday near the end of a tumultuous day spent beating back other news about the president's meeting last week with two Russian officials in the Oval Office. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
On a day when we thought things couldn't get any worse, they have.
The Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee is requesting that the FBI turn over all documents and recordings of detailed communications between Comey and the president. The letter from Jason Chaffetz to the FBI requests all memoranda, notes, summaries, and recordings that relate to the matter within a week. Federal investigators have subpoenaed records related to a $3.5 million mortgage that former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort took out on his Hamptons home just after leaving the campaign. ABC News says the mortgage document that explains how Manafort would pay back the loan was never filed with Suffolk County, New York, and Manafort's company never paid $36,000 in taxes that would have been due on the loan. One person was killed when a tornado swept into a mobile home park in Wisconsin yesterday, and another person died when a twister hit a housing subdivision in Oklahoma as a massive severe storm system battered an area stretching from Texas to the Great Lakes. In Wisconsin, Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald says a tornado damaged a trailer park north of Chetek.
I would describe it as total destruction. There's a whole row where there should be trailers that there's nothing. But debris.
More than two dozen people were injured in the storms. Delta Airlines scored the best for on-time flights in the latest government rankings, and United and American weren't far behind. Virgin America had the highest rate of delayed flights, and discount carrier Spirit Airlines drew the highest rate of consumer complaints. JetBlue had the highest rate of bumping passengers, while Delta had the lowest bumping rate and the highest number of volunteers who gave up their seats.
Was United number one in punching passengers? Was that a category in this particular survey?
Bumping is an interesting new category they're talking about, though.
Right. Broad term bumping. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. After reading several gut-wrenching stories about school lunch shaming, one determined dad in Seattle went on a mission to ensure every student at his son's school was debt-free. Jeffrey Liu found out the lunch debt at his third grader's school was about $97, so he started a GoFundMe page to find parents willing to help. CBS News says within days he met his goal, but he didn't want to stop there. Next up, all Seattle public schools. Mr. Liu called the district, asked them how much they owed. They gave him a number. $20,500 would cover the lunch debt at all 99 schools in the district. He quickly got to work, posting links to his fundraising campaign on local Facebook pages and asking parents if they'd be interested in donating. Within 24 hours, he had $500. Over the weekend, the funds grew to nearly $3,000. As of Monday afternoon, Mr. Liu had raised more than $22,000, enough to completely erase the Seattle School District's lunch debt. Any leftover money will go toward other school districts in need. What a guy. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.